Turn to Psalm 62 this morning. We're going to study Psalm 62 together today. A young man, a father and son, were out working in a field, and the young man found a big rock, and he was trying to push this rock out of the way, and he couldn't budge it, and he was straining for all his worth when his father noticed what he was doing, and he says, "I don't think you're using all the strength that you have there." And the young man said, "Well, I have too," and he tried again, and I mean, the sweat was pouring down as he just put all he had into it. He couldn't budge the rock, and his dad said to him, "No, I'm pretty sure you haven't used all the strength that you have available to you." And the young man backed off and said, "Dad, I'm putting everything I got into it." And he said, "Well, you haven't asked me for any help yet." Psalm 62 is a reminder to us that we need to ask the Father for help. You know, we're not always inclined to do that. We're more like a little boy. We're just trying all our best, putting everything we've got into it. And we're not looking up and calling upon the Lord Most High. And that's what Psalm 62 is a reminder to us to do. It is to call on the Lord. It is to trust Him and to lean on Him. I want to read the Psalm, and then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to guide us in our study of it. Psalm 62. "I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. How long will you threaten a man with all? Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering stone fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. It will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Men are only a vapor, exalted men an illusion. Weighed in the scales, they go up. Together they are less than a vapor. Place no trust in oppression or false hope and robbery. If wealth increases, pay no attention to it. God has spoken once. I have heard this twice. Strength belongs to God, and faithful love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay each according to his works." Well, let's ask the Lord to lead us in our study. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us a psalm of David that extols the importance of our trusting you and putting our hope in you. But more than that, Lord, just really calling out to you for the solutions to the things we're going through. So, Father, we pray that you guide us as we study the Word and personalize this invitation from the Lord Most High to lay our burdens on you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. I think sometimes that we can be guilty of doing what I think Psalm 62 is intended to address. And that is that we can be guilty of making God just sort of an out there being, someone who explains our being here, our origins, but not necessarily totally engaged in our life and in our world. And as a result of that, when we are faced with trials or difficulties or deep water, challenging times, we kind of reach out and grasp anything that we can find. We find a friend for sure to help walk with us through that, or a counselor that we can talk to, or a pastor that we can cry on his shoulder, or some way that we can grab a hold of somebody to walk with us. But when it comes to the Lord, it's a weakness. It's a limp in our walk, because we'll approach the Lord with maybe a short manufactured prayer, "Lord, I don't want to leave you out of this, help me too." But that's not what David's saying here. He isn't just saying, "Cover your bases and don't forget to pray about the difficulties you've got, otherwise slog along and do the best you can." What he says is, no, you have a God who is intimately involved in your life. He is engaged and committed to the victory that he wants to see in that life. So you need to rely on Him. You need to trust Him. You need to trust Him to the point where you this psalm, he kind of starts off in verse 1 where he says, I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him, and he alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. So like David often does, and other psalms as well, there's a story they're going to tell, but they tell you how it all comes out at the beginning. This is really how it all comes out. David's saying, I've been through some tough times with people that have been attacking me, lying about me. People are not trustworthy. They are a vapor. But when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, you can always, always, always rely on God because he is like a rock. He is like a fortress. So that's our first point here, is that trust in God comes, you trust in him even when you are betrayed, because God, number one, is worthy of your trust. God, why is he worthy of your trust? Well, because, number one, God is safer. He is a safer place to be. He says he is my rock, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. He is the one who is solid. He is the one upon whom you can stake your confidence and your hope. The other things that he says in here is that he is greater. He is bigger than the issues that are going on. He says he is my salvation. He isn't just a guy that walks with me for a while or encourages me or listens to me tell my sob story. He's the guy who delivers me. He's the one who actually is bringing me from this turmoil I'm in to a place of victory on the other side. And so he is a God who is greater than the problems I face or even that the people I rely on. And then finally, he is wiser. God is a wiser God. He knows what he's doing. He has a plan for all of this. Every one of us have been through times of difficulty and turmoil. Some might be in it right now. And you can sort of lose your way or wonder if there's a way, wonder if there's an answer or a solution to any of this that's going on. And when you look to the Lord, who is the God of the rock and the stronghold, who's the wise God, he's always working a plan. He tells us in Romans chapter 8 what we know now, which is that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. But he's working that plan and that purpose even when you and I don't understand it from day to day, how it's all playing out. That's the kind of God he is. He's a God that is worthy of trust because he knows what he's doing. He's able to handle these things. He then begins to sketch for us a little bit of what was going on in the background here. He says to us in verse 3, how long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if you were a leaning wall or a tottering stone fence? And so there is an assault or an intrigue that is going on against David. So there's some kind of context here. That's one of the neat things about poetry, is that they don't get bogged down in the details. We don't know if this was palace intrigue. We don't know if this was family issues that were going along, business dealings. We don't know if this was when David was the king, because there's certainly a lot of people who come after a king, or when David was running for his life, and the people who were coming after him was the king, or those who were on his team. He had the men that were gathered around him. But David is saying, what he's doing is he's boiling it down to the core issue, because that's transferable to any life in any age. At any point in time, you can find yourself in a position where you have people who have aligned themselves against you. They oppose you, and you don't even necessarily understand why they're doing it. Not only are they doing it, but they're lying about it. So their opposition is relentless. First of all, he says, how long will you threaten the man? Will all of you attack as if he was just a wall ready to be pushed over? And so it is this relentless attack. And David is saying, I'm getting weary of this. But you get the idea that this is ongoing. It's something that keeps coming at him. It is also an opposition that is looking for weakness. It's probing him, looking for ways to trip him up, ways to bring him down, ways to get whatever vengeance that they want against him. And so, like a tottering wall, one that's ready to fall over, they're probing for ways to bring him like this, where there are those who come against you and you don't even know why. What is their motivation? What's going on here? I've lived enough years and I've experienced this for sure, as people just come along and they just have some kind of mental weirdness about them that they can't stand you because you stand out. And so they want to bring you down. And their methods are deceitful. That's number four. Their methods are deceitful. He says to them that he only, they take pleasure in lying, and they bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. They're two-faced and hypocritical. They'll say one thing to you and another thing behind your back. And so David is just simply describing this scenario of people who come against him. And he is trying to figure out what does he do about this. And his story is leading us to this conviction that he has, that the only place that he can actually go is to the Lord. That's where he has to run. He has to call out to God. He has learned this, you know, from his life. You can look at his life, and there were many times when he was cast all alone, and yet he found God sufficient for him. And so I think the challenge for us as we look at Psalm 62 is not to just check this off, okay, we studied that one, let's move on to another one. But it is to honestly evaluate how it is that we respond to a crisis, how it is that we respond to a difficult matter that comes into our lives, and what it is we do. Do we run and cry on the shoulder of another? Do we run and bring somebody else into that? Do we run and make a phone call to the church office to make an appointment? How do we handle that? Or are we looking at God Most High? I'm not ruling those things out. We'd be short-served if we didn't lean on each other and help each other and rely on each other. But I want to submit to you that in all of the universe, there is only one Savior. And that position has already been filled. It's not me, and it's not anybody else here. It's one Savior, and he is the one who has the ultimate answer, the ultimate solution. So we don't go to him as an afterthought and say, oh, by the way, God, I do have a problem. You probably know about this. I'm asking for some help. It's really where we go at first, and then he may bring us help through the expertise and the skills of others. But our deliverer, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Rescuer is the God Most High, and he's the one to whom we go first. That's what David's saying. And he says it again in verse 5, which is our second point. We can trust God even when we're in doubt, but he says it again. He says, rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. So you get the idea that it is. That's the chorus line, is that God's the rock. He's the solid foundation. He's the Redeemer. He's the fortress into whom he runs. And so he says, rest in God alone, my soul. He is the rock and my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. So he's making this case that God can always be trusted. He is the one who is reliable. He is not whimsical. He is not frivolous. He is not partly there and then gone again. He is not inaccessible. You can pray to him, and he hears your prayers. He wants us to believe that truth, because sometimes in doubts, we have that feeling that our prayers have hit the ceiling and gone no further. God, do you even hear what I'm saying? And he is speaking back to you through Psalm 62. I hear you loud and clear. I know what you are saying. And I am working at this whole scenario that you are bringing to me in order to bring about my deliverance, my purposes, my says he is our rock, and he is faithful, and he is your deliverer, and he does hear you, and he is working, and he is bringing about the solution on his own time and in his own way and for his own purposes. And so he can always be trusted because God is trustworthy. There was a farmer getting ready to burn a brush pile, and he had collected a bunch of limbs and everything. It was getting to be about the season to light it on fire when he saw a bird, a robin, building a nest in it. And so he went over to the brush pile. Well, the robin took off, and he destroyed the nest. And so he came back a couple of days later, and the robin had come back and was trying to build that nest back. And so he went into the brush pile, and he tore the nest up again. And this time, the robin gave up and built the nest in a tree nearby. And then later on, when he lit the fire of brush on the robin's nest, and eggs and life were spared. Well, the robin didn't have a clue why this mean farmer kept ripping that nest apart after all that work. But the mean farmer turned out to have the robin's best interest in mind. You know, we don't always know how God's working. We don't always know how it is, Lord, that you are. Why are you pulling me through a knothole backwards? I mean, this is painful. And God says it's the right kind of pain right now. And we can trust him. He is a trustworthy God. It is right that deep in your heart. You can always, always trust him. Second thing he says to us in there is that he's our refuge. He's the one to whom we flee. He's where we go. He's the one who's the Savior. He can surround us with friends and encouragement. He can surround us with those who will walk the journey with us. But no one can take his place as the fortress. No one can take his place as the one who will lead you all the way through, who knows you like a book. Because that's a third point. He knows our need. He knows what's really going on, how that thing works. He knows what is happening in your life and how best to address that. And so he's the one to whom we go first. We may go through times of difficulty, and you might feel like your life is being shredded in the process. But a faithful God knows how to lead you through that and how to bring you safely to the other side. So I lived in North Idaho. We lived on Lake Pend'Oreille, or close to it. The city's on Lake Pend'Oreille, which is a very big lake in North Idaho. This thing is huge. And it's very deep also, so it has the capability of generating some pretty strong waves when there's a storm up there. And so one of the things that you learn very quickly when it comes to boats and water is that if you have that boat tied to a dock and a big storm comes along, you're going to lose both the boat and the dock. Because the storm will use the boat to beat the dock to pieces, and the dock will beat the boat to pieces. But if you want to preserve what you have, if you don't have a dock where you can get the boat clear out of the water, if you want to preserve it, you take it out into the water and you moor it on a looser line. And then the boat can move with the waves. And when the storm is over, then you can bring it back if you want to. But the Lord does that with us as well. When we cling to the things that he wants to move us away from, we're going to get hurt. But when we rest loosely in him, when our confidence and our trust is in him, the waves may be high and violent, but we ride that out because we are moored to God. We are anchored in him. We are rooted in him. Well, that takes us then to the last part of the psalm, where it begins to describe the reality of life. He says, men are only a vapor, exalted men, an illusion. He's just simply saying there's a place people play in going through a difficulty, but it isn't the same place that the Most High God plays. Because people are a vapor. He says, wait scales, they go up together. They are less than a vapor. Now, you have to picture a set of scales. These are the kind that are out of balance, and so they go like this. And he says, you put mankind on the scales, and then you put the trial or the tribulation or the difficulty or whatever it is over here, and it goes down, and the people that you're trusting in go up because they are like a vapor. They're lightweight. They don't have that staying capacity. And so, the first place we often go to are people. But people are not necessarily always going to have the right answer or the right help for us. So he says, don't put your trust in people. But lean on those who are just a vapor. Then in verse 10, he says, place no trust in oppression or false hope in robbery. If riches or wealth increases, pay no attention to it. We don't put our trust in money or our assets. We don't put our trust in our people, in people, or in our assets. And he says, those things can disappoint and discourage you. You can get wrong advice. You can get somebody who changes their mind about you. You can put your trust in money and then go back the next day and find that it's all gone. He said, don't put your trust in either one of those. Instead, and this is where it comes to a conclusion, God has spoken once, I have heard this twice. So there's this emphasis he brings to us. Strength belongs to God, and faithful love belongs to you, Lord. Two things. Trust in the power and the love of God. I want to submit to you that this is the very thing that is the stumbling block for most of the people who do not believe in God. These two things coming together are a stumbling block for them because they say, listen, he is either one or the other, but he cannot be both. He is either the all-powerful God who can do anything he wants, or he is a loving God who is kind of limited in his power. Because the unbeliever looks at it and says, I do not believe that an all-powerful God who is also loving could allow the suffering and the difficulties and the challenges of this world to prevail. Either he is not powerful or he is not loving, they will say. But he cannot be both. But he is both. He is both the all-powerful, omnipresent and omniscient, the all-powerful God, and he's also the one who is loyal in his love. It is the same, this Hebrew word, which is what is translated as agape in the New Testament, is the word chesed, which is it's a loyal love. It is an unbreakable, unshakable love. And the result is that this loyal love is combined with this omnipotence, this huge power, and he is defined as that is who he is. And you have to take it by faith, which you can. Because you believe how he has revealed himself. You know who God is, how he has made himself, how he has described himself, that he is a God who is able to do whatever he needs to do, and he is loving enough to do what must be done. And so the two come together in him because there is a truth to it that the unbeliever doesn't understand because he's looking at the world through unbelieving eyes and he sees the pain and the suffering and he doesn't understand the long-term plan that God has. So if there's a lesson that we can learn by looking at them, then look in your own life. If you don't see the long-term thing God is doing, don't lose hope or think that somehow God is now powerless to help you or that he doesn't love you. He's turned his back on you and he's really kind of fed up with you. Don't believe resources, people, assets, but your trust, your hope belongs in the Lord. Take it to Him. Talk it over with Him. Pray to Him. And if you feel like you're not being heard, keep praying. And then watch how the Lord begins to work in your life. David says, I trust in Him alone. Now, this was the King of England. King of Israel. He was the King of Israel. He was the leader of the mighty men. He had this band. He was the guy that killed Goliath with a rock. He killed a lion when he was a boy. And he says, my trust, my confidence is in God alone. You see these electrical wires that are around us. You know a little bit about them. You know that the voltage of the wires that run up and down your alley and up and down your street is a lot higher than the voltage that you have in your home. And the closer you get to the substation, the higher that voltage is. There are thousands of volts in some of those transmission lines. And some of those regional lines are not that much, but they're still way high. They're enough to do some serious damage to you if you were to reach out and touch them. The fact of the matter is that you look up every single day and you see birds just sitting there absolutely oblivious to what is going on underneath their feet. Now, how can they do that? How is it that if you touch them, you get fried, but the bird sits there and is just peachy? It's because when you touch them, you're already standing on the ground or some other surface that is a conductor. And so you just complete the circuit and you get fried. But the bird is all in. The bird is on the line and nothing else. And all that power that's in the line doesn't hurt the bird, but only serves to provide a place for the bird to stand for a little while it rests. I want to submit to you. Psalm 62 says, go all in on God. The great power of a loving God is available to all of His children. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Believe Him. He is the rock who will not move. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Psalms and their message for us. Lessons learned and some bitter experience that David had, but it's powerful truth for us today. You are a trustworthy God. And the first place that we should go with every concern and burden that we have is to cry out to You. So help us, Lord.